I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the air live from 1 until 4 every day. After 4 o'clock, you can hear the show on a podcast on the iHeart app. John and Ken on Demand, it's called.
There is a more recent update to the shooting that took place this morning at a bank called Old National in Louisville, Kentucky. The shooter, identified as Connor Sturgeon, it is now said was recently fired. And how nice. Not only did he live stream the shooting on Instagram, he left a note for his parents, telling him, I'm going to attack the bank. So there you go. There was some confusion as to whether or not he was current or former employee.
I guess they didn't.
Sounds like he was recently let go.
I guess they didn't see the note?
Not in time. No, apparently not.
Where'd he hide the note?
The shooting was at 8:30. It could have been they got up a little later or weren't home when he left the note, because he went right to work and killed people. Yeah. He died too. A total of 5 dead, 4 employees of the bank, and 8-9 people wounded. That's your update from Kentucky. Now, speaking of the South, one of the big stories last week was out of Tennessee, where they had a mass shooting a couple of weeks ago in Nashville. And a lot of focus was on the Tennessee state legislature and what they were going to do about the guns. And since they weren't going to do much, it's heavily Republican controlled. Well, that led to protesters who were outside the state house, and then they got inside. And 3 state representatives were, quote, charged with leading this revolt, which apparently took up an hour as they took over basically the state house chamber. And late last week, they voted to expel 2 of the 3 state legislators, both of them named Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. The third person who was charged with leading the revolt was not expelled from the state legislature.
Well,
so the twist in the story is that they may be on their way back.
And we have another Justin Finch, ABC News correspondent in Washington, to explain how these two may be getting their jobs back very quickly. Justin Finch, how are you?
That's right. 3 Justins to kind of factor in today. That's right. So Justin Jones and Justin Pearson are those 2 expelled Democrats in Tennessee. They are both likely on track to be appointed to the seats they were expelled from in just a matter of days. Justin Jones, as soon as today, the Nashville Metro Council set to meet in just about a half hour or so's time, and they will have a hearing to discuss filling Jones's now open state house seat. There's also large support on that council to reappoint Jones, and they could do so by the end of their meeting. And in just a few days, on Wednesday, the Shelby County Commissioners, which includes the Memphis area, they are also set to meet on Wednesday to weigh reinstating Justin Pearson. If both are reappointed, they could be back in their seats within a week's time from their expulsion from the Tennessee State House. This all stems from a protest they took part in that was led to the chamber floor in which they had bullhorns calling on the chamber to do something. As for the protesters, in response to that Nashville shooting, to take up some kind of gun reform. It did go on for quite a long time, around an hour or so. It took about their time. And the Republican supermajority said that this was a violation of their decorum and their procedural rules, and they moved to bring this expulsion vote for all three. Justin Pearson, Justin Jones were expelled. Gloria Johnson narrowly escaping expulsion by just a single vote. Justin Pearson, Justin Jones are both black men. Gloria Johnson is a white woman. They are saying it's hard to ignore the racial dynamic here, but the Tennessee House Speaker, a Republican, Cameron Sexton, says this is not about race. This is about all three members violating their rules, and he did vote for all three to go, but only Johnson was able to retain her seat.
What are the rules if they are reinstated? Can the state legislature work again to expel them?
They are supposed to be able to come back to their seats without retribution. So said Cameron Sexton, the House Speaker, when this vote came down. Both Justins have sent a letter, an open letter to the House, hoping to, if they are reappointed, to come right back to their seats and their duties and have their benefits reinstated, and hopefully not deal with any kind of retribution that could come as a result of their returning to the chamber. So that leaves us in a watch and CMO to see just what will happen next, if there will be any kind of other action taken as a response to the two of them, should they come back, coming back.
Is there any information about whether this was a negotiated settlement behind the scenes and that everybody's made their point and we're now going to all move on?
It doesn't appear so. It appears the Republicans are standing firm. They're going out and talking about how this is a rules violation. Their actions took away time from their time to legislate, and this was meant to send a message. However, expulsions in Tennessee have been used before, but they are rare. And when they are used, they are used to punish members who violate the law generally, not the rules of the chamber.
There's no way for the this legislative body to expel them permanently?
This was, barring their return by appointment and then again special election, effectively a permanent ban. To remove them from ever running from office, running for office and coming back to the chamber that way, this does not do that. Simply gets them out of their seats for the time being.
Yeah, because I wondered, when they expelled them, was there supposed to be a special election to replace them? Or actually the way it works is just the city council and the county commission just names their replacement?
So what happens is the seats are vacated, and then there is a time for their respective districts to appoint someone to replace those ousted members. So that would happen. If it were not them, they would go, the replacements, to the chamber and then run for election, in a special election in 2024. That will likely happen regardless for either of the justices should they come back. But there's always been a recourse of appointment to election for anyone who would replace the ousted members.
All right. Thank you very much, Justin Finch. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
That's Justin Finch, ABC News for KFI, with the quick turnaround that it looks like the two expelled lawmakers in Tennessee are coming back, because under the rules, the city council in Nashville gets to decide who's to replace Justin Jones, and they may name Justin Jones back to the seat. And then on Wednesday, the Shelby County Commission gets to do the same thing concerning Justin Pearson, and it's expected that they will name Justin Pearson to replace himself.
So how long do the Republicans want to fight about this? That's the question.
Now, it says here in one of the stories that these, of course, were two of the three state representatives in Tennessee who led this House floor protest for stricter gun safety measures. Jones and Pearson used a bullhorn to lead chants and spoke without being recognized. Now, Jones is the woman that was involved in this. Jones and Pearson are the two black men.
Yeah.
Tennessee House leaders called the protest an insurrection, and that's why the whole January 6th thing.
Well, everything's an insurrection now. For people who haven't ever experienced a real insurrection.
So I guess because Gloria Johnson, that's the woman, maybe she didn't get on the bullhorn, so she got a couple of votes to stave off being recalled?
Sure. Well, we can't have an alternate universe where Gloria is black to see what would happen.
We do not have one, but I think some would say her behavior was not as egregious. Although no one's really said that. I'm just reading some of the details of the story. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Hey, yeah, in 1 hour, you'll have another chance at money. Be listening for the keyword, the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. Word will be revealed at around 3:20. And also, of course, we're on the air from 1 to 4 now. So if you miss any minutes of the show, and boy, a lot of good stuff already in the first hour and a half. John told us that we're part of the 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Deborah Mark fit in that?
Where do I fit in that?
Well,
is she a follower, a leader that's a psychopath, or the 5% that's neither?
Turn his mic off, Eric.
Well, you don't have to be a leader to be a psychopath.
Right. That's correct.
It's just that being a psychopath makes it easier to be a leader because you don't care who you screw. You have no conscience. So it doesn't matter.
I'm not really a follower, though.
No.
So she's part of the 5%?
I don't know. We'd have to examine her more closely.
It's like 95% of that isn't good, so nobody wants to pick that one.
What's that?
95% of that is no good.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a sheeple.
No.
And you don't want to be the psychopathic leader.
Right.
So what does that leave? Just the 5% category, which everybody's going to pick.
I know.
I'm neither, and I'm really good, independent, mentally healthy.
It's not up to each person to pick their category. Their actions demonstrate their category.
Oh, I see.
You see?
Well, then that's why you should pick hers.
I don't believe in self-reporting. I don't know what she did. I don't think she's a leader.
What?
And I don't think you're a follower.
Either.
Okay, wait a second, guys.
She's a vegan follower.
No, because I follow my own lead when it comes to veganism.
Well, maybe you're part of the 5%. That's what I'm saying. So. You're maybe part of the 5%.
I am a leader. People do follow me. Hmm. So there. What do you think? I'm just this measly little...
Well, who's following? No, I'm not a leader either. We're not leaders. We want to be left alone.
Well, I do want to be left alone.
Okay, there you go. Then you're one
fine.
Of us.
Okay, I'm one of you.
You're one of us.
Jeez.
I wasn't criticizing.
Okay, good.
It's good to stir the pot. See what happens.
You know, I could stay home and get this.
Boy, is there any more controversy in the world today than the Dalai Lama trying to get a boy to kiss his tongue?
Oh, my. Is that the grossest story?
Did you see it?
Yes.
You know what's funny about it? I saw it this morning. Now I'm looking at the New York Post, and they blurred out the little boy, I guess, because he could be considered a victim of sex abuse.
Did they blur out the tongue?
Not the Dalai Lama's tongue, no.
Yeah, so he wanted the boy to suck on...
To suck his tongue.
To suck on his tongue?
Yes.
Now, the Dalai Lama's 87, so...
He
anymore.
Has this little boy to suck on his 87-year-old tongue.
He was...
What a weirdo. No. I saw a still photo. I don't want to watch the video.
It's kind of a playful thing.
That's what they all say, playful thing. You ever, did anybody ever play with you like that? One of your uncles?
You should not be doing that to anybody who is not your own child
relative. No, I wouldn't suck on my kids' tongues either, or they wouldn't suck on mine.
It's the reverse, right?
The whole thing it's gross. Disgusting. He's a pervert.
The video is from February. It's just making the news today.
It emerged.
The Tibetan spiritual leader apparently was taking questions at a town hall in India, where he lives in exile, when the child asked him, "Can I hug you?" The Dalai Lama invited the boy on stage and pointed to his cheek, prompting the boy to give him a hug and a kiss. He then pointed to his lips and said, "Then I think finally here also." He then pulled the unidentified boy's chin and kissed him on the mouth and then said,
come on.
Suck my tongue.
Well, you know, he's probably got a little dementia going now. And so his desires are flowing freely.
He didn't ask what actually happened. You never asked what happened.
What do you mean what happened?
Did the boy do that? I would have asked that question.
All right. What's the answer?
Well, they pressed their foreheads together. The kid stuck his tongue out, but it looks like they didn't touch tongues or anything. Then the Dalai Lama pulled him in for another hug, and that was the end of that. He then added, now you should look to these good human beings who create peace and happiness. You should follow these human beings who are, you should not follow human beings that are killing other people. Most of the people in the audience laughed and applauded. And he then, he appeared to tickle the child too.
There you go. How many red flags do you need here?
What?
Well, you don't trust grown men in robes who want to suck your tongue or they want you to suck their tongue. You don't trust those people. That's
You'd only
weird.
Be more outraged if the Pope did this, right? That would be really like, no. After the sex abuse scandals.
Who knows what kind of tongue sucking goes on.
Well, one journalist said the video is scandalous. The Dalai Lama kisses a boy, approaches him on the mouth.
But you don't kiss little kids on the mouth.
That is weird, yeah.
Okay, and then you ask for a tongue suck? No! Dalai Lamas don't marry.
They put out a statement, the Dalai Lama, he's apologizing to the boy and his family, as well as many friends across the world, for the hurt his words may have caused. His words? I think they meant his actions. His Holiness often teases people he meets in an innocent and playful way, even in public and before cameras.
All right, so I'm looking at this interview of the Dalai Lama. That was done for a Buddhist television outlet. And one of the questions is, Dalai Lamas don't marry, so do you miss sex? No, I don't miss sex. Not only Buddhist monks don't marry, Catholic monks don't either. So this is the problem here.
Yeah.
You know, they can't even address the issue of sex. Like, he's gone 87 years without some kind of... physical entanglement with somebody? I just don't believe that.
So he couldn't resist a little boy standing in front of him.
And so then the question is, how do the monks satisfy their physical urges and feelings?
By tongue baths?
Well, I don't know. It's like all this gibberish, see? He answers in like riddles.
He thinks he wants to live another 20 years, but we got to have a new Dalai Lama, right?
This
means to find somebody that is the chosen one.
I have said this for decades. Do not trust men in robes.
Catholic He's a Nobel priests. Prize winner.
There's a lot of those.
Doesn't help.
Who wears robes? Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Catholic priests, bishops, Dalai Lama. What do we have in common here?
You mean robes outside of coming out of the shower?
Yes. They're comfortable in robes. All sex crimes were committed while wearing robes.
Well, not all sex crimes, but...
Among that crowd that I just listed.
Oh, I see.
Hugh Hefner, right? Now, he was a weirdo. Always wore a robe.
Yes, the robe was big with Hugh
Sexual
Hefner.
Deviants.
He was known for that.
Wear robes. They do.
I guess it's to keep everything loose and handy.
Exactly.
You don't have to take off underwear or shorts.
So it's really roomy there.
And all you got to do is open the sash.
You need the extra square footage.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Is that the sound of the Dalai Lama?
It's the robe opened, and there you go. No. All right, Eric.
Is that from the audio?
No.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, call me suspicious. There is a state legislator who has introduced a bill to make big changes to the mentally ill and conservatorship. Remember that famous act, what do they call it, LPS from the 1960s, Lanterman Petrus Short Act, when Ronald Reagan was governor? Some say it's made it difficult to take the mentally ill off the street unless they volunteer to come in. So I'm suspicious because I know this legislature is a far left woke progressive. Why would she want to make it easier to take people in under conservatorship? We'll examine the story coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. But, you know, I don't have every detail of the bill. I just have the news stories written about it. I don't know whether or not it would be a good thing or not. Although she tried this last year and it didn't get past the Senate Judiciary Committee. So same thing could happen this time again. Well, as most of the legislators in Sacramento just fold their arms when it comes to the
mentally ill. A normal society would do it. So maybe she's one of the last rational people left in Sacramento.
Maybe, but I should give her the benefit of the doubt.
That's absolutely what has to be done. Ultimately, when people get fed up enough, maybe in the next generation, then we'll do it. But this generation of woke a-holes, that's what they are, violates their religious beliefs.
There is no update or arrest yet for the person who stabbed the Cash App founder, Bob Lee, in San Francisco last week. I just checked. The San Francisco Police Department isn't saying much. They're being very tight on their investigation. However, the story I thought would appear in the El Segundo Times and Summer Lin did not disappoint. Mm-hmm. They headlined it, Elon Musk, others claim San Francisco crime out of control, but the numbers tell a different story.
They always hide behind some phony set of numbers to distort. They ought to give her the chief propaganda correspondent title.
Violent crime, defined by the California Department of Justice as homicide, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault, according to this reporter, peaked in 2013 in San Francisco. 7,064 incidents. It has fallen over the last decade down to 4,800 in 2020, before a slight uptick in 2021 to about 4,900. They haven't released statistics for 2022. However, the Fox News story says city crime statistics show that while most major crimes have fallen so far in 2023 compared to the same period last year, violent crimes as a whole have risen slightly, driven by an 18% increase in robberies and a 33% rise in homicides. And felony assaults have remained flat. Misdemeanor assaults have climbed by 13%. So before the eyes glaze over in these statistics, let me say a couple of things here. That if you can go by the numbers, but I pointed this out several times, the population of San Francisco, particularly when it comes to office workers, has dropped dramatically since the pandemic. There are simply less people to attack. That may help the crime numbers a bit.
And there are far less people hours where they're walking the streets. Because
that's true too,
they're not going to restaurants at night anymore. They're not going to the bars. They're not doing shopping in the evening anymore. So many places have closed and gone out of business. And the customers aren't there anymore. But besides that, these are bad numbers. And this debate over things being up or down by this percent or that percent, the fear in the streets comes from having all the homeless people wandering around
well,
out of control.
Well, that's what I found in another story on the same thing, although it was trying to explain why, when the crime numbers don't bear it out, are people feeling unsafe? And a lot of San Franciscans are posting to Twitter. But you hit on it, and that's exactly what one of the people said in the story. There's a sense, because there's been so much homelessness and so much coverage of it, that the city's just not under control.
It's knee-jerk woke propaganda is what it is, okay? Because if you go to San Francisco, and we both have, and if you see some wild-haired guy stumbling towards you, and you don't know if he's going to jump you, stab you, hit you over the head with a pipe, who knows what he's going to do, right? And they're doing drugs. They're on some kind of crazed meth surge. It's scary behavior. We drove a few months ago through San Francisco. We must have been near the Tenderloin District. I forget the name. We're like near Union Square, I guess. Right. It was so hideous to see these people stumbling around the streets. They had tents, they had furniture, they're standing in between cars. Now, in that moment, not one violent crime was committed within my eyesight. But that is a block I never want to drive down again. That is a scene I never want to see again. When I hear San Francisco, that's the thing I think of. That's the last thing I saw on the last trip there, was that scene, which was Zombieland, Night of the Living Dead.
And they do admit that property crime is up. It rose by 17% in 2021. They have the Bay Area has the highest rate of property crime in the state.
Right.
Which is what I witnessed a year and a half ago when I was up there. I saw a car break in right in front of my eyes. I couldn't believe it was like 10:30 in the morning. And I'm watching this guy smash the back of a window.
But everything is about propaganda. The headline in the El Segundo Communist Times, after Bob Lee's slaying, San Francisco fights crime rhetoric. No, see, that's the thing. That's propaganda. That's a lie. This is intentionally distorting what goes on in San Francisco.
And again, trying to compare this to the 90s when the homicide rates were off the charts, because a lot of it was gang members killing gang members. What's bothering people here more recently is there seems to be less of that and more of some people just getting killed like Bob Lee's.
That's right. It's also when you talk about numbers, it's about where is it happening. If you have criminals killing criminals, there's a lot less fear. When you have a guy like Bob Lee,
to a neighborhood you wouldn't go near.
You're right, but if you're Bob Lee and you're in the neighborhood where the Pelosi's live, and you get stabbed to death on the street, that has a huge impact, and it should. It means nice areas of the city have been invaded by the crazies. Stupid weirdo Scott Wiener pushed back against the narrative. God, do I hate that word. That San Francisco is grappling with high rates of violent crime. I do think it's unfortunate that we're seeing this narrative that San Francisco is some exceptionally violent place. That's not true. Exceptionally violent? You notice how he suddenly changes the bar there? Well, it's not exceptionally violent. Yeah, well, tell that to Bob Lee. He got some exceptionally violent wounds in his guts, and he bled out on the sidewalk. Oh, and their fire commissioner, did you see?
Yeah, he got beat with a pipe or something.
Right. He crashed his skull and cracked his jaw. I think he was a former fire commissioner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got attacked. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, one thing that we said is important if we're ever, ever, ever going to get a handle on all the homeless people is we got to do something about the word conservatorship. Now, you would think somebody living in their own waste in a park or on the sidewalk that's delirious would be somebody who cannot take care of themselves and needs some sort of oversight. However, it's one of the impediments. There's another bill in Sacramento to try to simplify the definition and get more people taken in, even against their will, if need be, the actual words from the legislator behind this. We'll talk about it coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. This all takes us back to the 1960s. Something called the Lenterman-Petras Short Act was was passed and signed when Ronald Reagan was governor. It's often cited as an impediment to getting these people off the streets and into the mental health need they need. So we'll talk about it after the news at 3 o'clock. The Apple AirTag has... Boy, every time we come back on the air, my phone's ringing with a spam call. Every single freaking time today. And I don't know who this is in the Valley, but I've gotten the same call. I feel like I'm putting out a mortgage like John did. But
those are gone now.
There has been somebody that has called me 3 times a day, every day for the last 2 weeks.
Same number?
Phone number. Yeah, the same phone number in the Valley.
Oh.
It's an 818 number.
I put a block on every single spam.
Yeah, I do. I just keep forgetting to do that. And so what happens? Your phone doesn't ring at all?
Correct.
Yeah.
Since I don't make calls, I don't get calls.
And mine doesn't ring. It kind of buzzes. I have it on like a vibrate thing.
Yeah.
I have a ringer. The Apple AirTag, usually when we talk about the Apple AirTag, it's because some guy's using it to stalk a woman. That's been the case in the last couple of sensational stories that they plant it in a woman's bag or somewhere on her person and follow her around because they want to know where she's going. It's usually attractive model-like women that have told this story. But this story is quite different, and definitely it sounds like it was a good thing, although the police like to say, no, don't take this into your own hands. Call the police. But you know what? Can they be bothered with a stolen bicycle?
No, you know what?
Even if it is a $3,000 e-bike.
Screw that. Take things into your own hands. The government's not protecting you anymore. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, this happened in Orange County.
You got every right to go back and get your property.
Apparently, a woman's $3,000 e-bike was stolen right outside her place of work. So the father and the daughter decided that the cops really weren't doing enough to track the stolen bike.
Oh, they don't care.
They apparently, it was a $29 Apple AirTag was attached to the bike. Even though she locked the wheel and removed the pedals and a battery, they still took it. So the Apple AirTag led them to the home because it was pinging, and the Orange County Police Department did go to that home. They knock on the door, and the guy just says, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing here.
Yeah, right. And that's all the cops do. You know, they don't have a search warrant.
They don't have a search warrant. They
right.
can't.
Right. But they can go back to the victim of the crime saying, well, we knocked on the door, and he denied the charge.
Nothing we can do, lady.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
That's worthless.
That's what they decided. So they used the AirTag's pings themselves when the bike began transmitting again. They went to the thief's home and confronted the person.
Good.
Apparently, David, the father, said, I yelled, dude, I'm grabbing my daughter's bike. Boom. And I hightailed right out of there. I guess they saw it there. He just stood there with a look on his face like I've never seen anyone with that look. I think the look was shock. Like, how did you get my location? How did you? Yeah, but wouldn't he have already been tipped off when the police came earlier looking for that bike? He probably knew. He probably didn't know it was an Apple AirTag.
Right.
That it was probably
right.
just well,
figured
some
he had,
tip.
If you outfox the police, you figure you're in the clear now, right? Because nobody ever knocks on the door of the thief.
I know, but what if he gets stabbed?
Well, shock? You should bring some... protection with you.
Oh, some protection.
That's
with
what
me.
You ought to
police
do.
Police dog?
Huh? Yeah. You know what? You got every Second Amendment right to protect yourself.
You're not supposed to kill people over property, though, right? You're supposed to only kill people when your life is threatened. But of course, if he threatened you because you came for the bike, well,
you just have to show them that you're upset. You don't have to shoot.
Oh,
you'll probably get the bike back once they see how unhappy you are.
Apparently, the daughter drives 12 miles a day on that bike to work. I was crying. Why would anybody steal my bike? Well, a $3,000 e-bike. I think you got your answer.
Yeah.
Unless you took the battery off, isn't that a lot of its worth?
I don't. That's it. I just can't imagine a $3,000 bike.
E-bikes are not cheap because they're battery operated like cars. So,
have you
ridden an e-bike yet?
Once I rented one,
and it
was fun, but I felt out of control.
I think there has to be some of that.
You know, it just went way too fast for what I was used to, and you know, I'm lousy at physical things. You know, I'm just too clumsy. Now, so I just felt like this is a bad idea for my capabilities.
A spokesperson with the Orange County Sheriff's Department said, as much as the convenience of technology plays a vital role in the quality of our lives, we want to remind our communities to utilize their local law enforcement services when they've been victimized by a crime.
But you know, you didn't get the bike back. The guy had the bike at the house there, and you didn't bring it back. So what's the point? That's what's the point of a police department? They knew that from the Apple Ping that the bike was there. The cops knew it.
But without a search warrant, all they can do is confront the guy, and if he denies it,
well,
there's nothing the cops can do unless they stay there and they stake out the place.
That's my point. They're of
no use. Take a picture or a video of him with the bike.
They're of no use.
But they don't have time for that. They don't want to do that.
Right. They don't want to do it. They don't have a search warrant. So what good are the cops in this case? No good at all. Don't give us, please utilize the resources of your local police department. No. If you're not going to go in there and grab the bike, and don't give me your excuses, you grab the bike. Okay. This guy said, I'll do it myself. And he got it.
A similar story, which has your ending, in Texas. I had it in the pile a week or so ago. We just didn't get to it. Same thing. The guy air tagged his pickup truck. Pickup truck got stolen. He tracked the pickup truck to a house, confronted the guy, and shot him dead.
There you go.
It was a confrontation that resulted in the man whose car was stolen.
Good. Last truck he'll steal.
Killed.
He's not going to steal
another
one.
That's not a crime.
No.
Well, he's dead. He's not going to steal another one.
No. Well, hey, there are consequences in life.
All right. Lock him up. Well, not literally, but maybe there's another attempt in Sacramento to perhaps take the mentally ill off the streets, even if they don't agree. We'll get to it next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.